Good truth in that song. Amen. Philippians chapter number 4 in our Bibles this morning. Philippians chapter number 4. Let me talk to the teenagers here real quick. If you could look up and listen up, all of our teenagers. Brother Jamie Jackson is 6'9". And Brother Jamie Jackson really had an opportunity. The Knicks were talking to him. I think it was Pat Riley. Steve Brown, you know him. You know of him. I don't mean you don't know personally. But in any event, most young people are looking for opportunity. Most young people in this world are looking for opportunities to make it big. I mean, make it big, man. You make it big. You play basketball. You play football. Most don't. But Brother Jackson decided, hey, I'm going to serve the Lord. God's called me to preach, and I'm going to be a preacher. And I'll tell you, when you invite friends, you call them up and you say, hey, this guy had an opportunity to play professional basketball, and he's going to tell us why he didn't. That's a good advertisement. Don't you tell him why. You say he's going to tell him. So you got to come hear him, okay? And let's, as a church, do what we can to try to get teenagers here for the November 28th youth service. We'll have a separate service in here, and we'll send them over there, and we'll have a good time here, and they'll have a good time there, and it's all going to be good, and God's going to be glorified, right? Amen? All right, guess what we're looking at here this morning? We are still in our series on overcoming fear and anxiety. Now, by God's grace, we're going to shift gears here in just a few minutes as we look at this matter of overcoming fear in society, and anxiety. We are going to look today at probably the hardest challenge that we all face. And it's not necessarily, let me read our text. It's not in what we know, it's in what we do. And the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, and really, it's the last four words, think on these things. And we see whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely, of a good report. Well, why is it that the Bible tells us to think on these things? Do you know why that is? It's because nobody can think on those things for you, only you can. You can tell somebody, hey, your thinking is not right. And they can agree with you or not agree with you. They may say, yeah, you're right, it's not right. But you know, people will tell other people your thinking's not right, and they'll keep thinking what they're thinking that's not right. The only one that can change your thinking is you. And so we're going to look this morning. Here's our text verse. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. We just review, and then we'll have prayer, and we'll dive into where we some new stuff. We're three part: our spirit, soul, and body. And we've looked at this a number of times, and so it's important for us to take care of our body, take care of the spiritual side. But we've been looking at our soul. Our soul is really our mind, our will, and our emotions. And so we've taken a number of weeks, and we're going to finish today, Lord willing, our mind. It'll probably take us 2 weeks to look at our will. And then we'll spend a week on our emotions, and we may do a session on the fear of man. That's a challenge for us, too, when it comes to fear and anxiety, depending on how today overlaps with that. So here's where we've been. Dealing with our mind, we have to recognize that our thinking affects us. Why is that important? Because sometimes when we go about our day, when we find ourselves worried, we find ourselves anxious, we find ourselves fearful, we have to stop and ask ourselves, what am I thinking? All right, so we have to recognize that my thinking will affect me, and sometimes I feel the way I feel because I think the way I think. And then we have to capture and replace our thoughts. As we recognize, what am I thinking? We need to analyze what we're thinking, and we need to recognize, is it true? Is it honest? Is it just? Is it right? And then when we recognize it, we say, I shouldn't be thinking this. I should be thinking this. And that's what we've spent the last few weeks looking at, choosing to think right. Now, a little bit of review. I went too fast. Number one, what do I think about God? I'm not going to review it all, but this is what we looked at. And by the way, there's way more than this, as you find in the Word of God. Don't let any, by the way, Satan doesn't want you to think right about God. You look at the Garden of Eden. Yeah, have God really said? God's trying to keep something back from you. One of the biggest lies teenagers believe is if I sell out to God, I surrender all, here I am, Lord, take me, that God's going to do something to harm them. By the way, that's not just a teen thing, it's an adult thing as well. We think, if I sell out to God. Your best friend, the one that cares about you the most, is God.
Amen.
And we need to think right about God. And when we don't understand what's happening, we don't want to turn on the one that loves us the most, the one that wants to take care of us, the one that's going to help us. And we got to think right about God. Number two, we need to think right about me. Everyone, if you've trusted Christ as Savior, you are God's child. Just let it soak in. I'm the child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm accepted in the beloved. God accepts me for who I am. You say, yeah, but I've disappointed him. And that's okay. We've all disappointed him, and he still loves us. His love for us is not contingent upon our works, what we do and don't do. He loves us unconditionally. He loves us perfectly. Boy, we can find joy and peace in the fact that God loves us. We're free from condemnation. We're more than a conqueror. You're not just a conqueror today. You are more than a conqueror. Tell your neighbor that. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. That's right. Yeah. If we could see the devil, we'd all look at him and say, look, pal, I'm more than a conqueror. And that's what we need to recognize. We need to recognize we're more than a conqueror. How about the truth about our circumstances? Good and bad circumstances come to all of us. Do you know what? We need to make sure our circumstances grow us and don't derail us. Hey, there are some things in our lives, and we're going to look at this as we look at our will, that we can change and we need to change. But there are some kinds of things that we have to just accept. And we need to respond in a biblical way to the adverse circumstances that come our way. All right, so now there were four. There was God, me, circumstances. And today I want to talk about others. All right? I want to talk about thinking right about others. And so let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to dive in here. Lord, we love you today. We thank you for your love and your goodness to us. And Lord, we ask that you would meet with us now as we continue this series. Lord, help me to say only what you would have. Lord, I pray you'd speak to your people. And I pray, Lord, you glorify yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. When we think about what causes anxiety in our lives, obviously circumstances come in our way. Obviously, we can think in a negative way about ourselves. Obviously, we can find ourselves saying, God, what are you doing? Where are you? God, I feel like you're miles and miles away. And it's important to think biblically about God, to have the right biblical view of ourselves, because Satan wants to derail us, to get us out of the fight, you might say, and to think correctly about circumstances. But do you know what? Sometimes we have the wrong view of people. Sometimes we can find ourselves facing anxiety when it comes to interpersonal relationships with other people. I was with Will Rice when he was here for meetings just a few months ago, and Will Rice asked the million-dollar question. He said to me, he said, Pastor, what do you find as the biggest challenge in ministry? And I smiled and I said to him this. I said, I also find this thing not just the biggest challenge, but also the biggest joy in ministry as well. You know what I told him? People. And he laughed. I said, you know, some of the biggest challenges in ministry is people. Some of the biggest joys in ministry is people. And we all have to work with people. None of us is an island. You heard about the fellow that got stranded on the desert island, and they finally came to pick him up, and he had three tents on this island. And they said to him, well, here you are, what's this tent here for? And the guy said, well, this is where I live. He said, great. And they said, well, what's this tent here? And he said, this is where I go to church. And they said, what's this tent over here? Well, this is where I used to go to church. Stranded on an island by himself. People bring challenges in our life. So how do we view this? Now, again, this is not exhaustive, but let me just give you some thoughts when it comes to people, when it comes to working with people. Do you know that God created all people? You say, yeah, I know this, but wait a second. The individual that frustrates you, God created. The individual that, you know, the Bible doesn't say you have to like everybody. It does say you have to love. The individual that you don't really like all that much, God created that individual. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Everybody is made in the image of God. And we need to recognize that because God cares about everybody. And sometimes when we treat somebody in an unkind way, another Christian in an unkind way, we're treating another one of God's children in an unkind way that God created and that God loves and that God understands. You see, it's important for us as we look at the human race. God created all of us. God gives people a free will. Now, the passage of Scripture listed there is a passage of Scripture where Elijah said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. But basically, choose who you're going to serve. Joshua told the people in Joshua chapter 24, choose you this day whom you will serve. And do you know there are people in our world that we live in today that exercise their will to do wrong? God would have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of truth. God wants everybody to be saved. God created everybody. He wants everybody to be saved. But God does not override human will. And sometimes people exercise their will and they choose to not trust Christ as Savior. They choose to do what's wrong. And sometimes in choosing to do what's wrong can be hurtful. We look at society, a lot of people, probably last night, I don't know how many, but probably people killed last night across the United States of America. Somebody took a gun and shot somebody. And you know, unsaved people act like unsaved people. The Bible says they're of their father, the devil. Now, we don't go into work and say, hey, I learned something in church on Sunday. I learned it. You're of your father, the devil. That probably won't be the best way to reach people with the gospel. But it is important for us to understand that an unsaved person can act like an unsaved person. A Christian, by the way, has a free will. The Holy Spirit of God moves inside of us when we get saved, but we must exercise our will to obey God. And sometimes Christian people can do things that are non-Christian and can behave in a way that's unchristian. You see, where are we going with this? Where we're going with this is we're going with our response to individuals. We have a tendency, and we'll look at this after we get through choosing to think right, we have a tendency to want to control people. We have a tendency to, hey, I want them to respond in the way that I think they would respond. The only person you can control, and you can't control them half the time, is your own self. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Number three, God uses, and my first thought was imperfect people. We're all imperfect people, okay? So God can use people in our lives, whether those people are doing right or whether those people are doing wrong. Do you know one of the challenges that sometimes as Christians we have when it comes to authority is if we have an authority that's doing wrong. Say you have an unsaved boss at work and they're doing wrong. Sometimes it's easy for us to think, hey, I don't have to submit to or obey that unsaved authority. Now, if that unsaved authority asks you to steal, you ought to say, look, I can't steal for you and I'll work hard for you, but I'm not going to steal. You want me to steal? I'm going to find another job. But sometimes when we recognize, you know, people are not perfect and an unsaved person is going to act like an unsaved person, and sometimes we have to respond in a biblical way to them. But that's not as much challenge to us as it is saved people. Every teenager lives with imperfect parents. Every teenager could, if I asked, give a list. Here's where my mom and dad struggle. Now, parents could give a list of their teenagers, too. But when a young person recognizes, you know, when the kids are 5 and 6, you know, they think dad is mom, Superman, Superwoman. Man, they can do anything. They can walk. I mean, you hand you a peanut butter jar and you open it. And they go, man, you strong. But then they turn into a teenager and and everything changes. And their view sometimes is distorted because they recognize, wow, my mom's human, my dad's human. And sometimes young people fail to realize that God can and will use imperfect people in their lives. God will use imperfect people in all of our lives. And often we don't see God in the people situations that we face. And we have to take a step back and say, okay, we're having a conflict in family or extended family, and we think, oh, I don't know that I want to be around extended family, or maybe I'm not going to participate in this situation, this get-together, or whatever it might be. And sometimes we can find ourselves feeling anxiety about being in situations that we might feel a little bit uncomfortable with. We need to recognize that God knows all about it. And sometimes we think this, that person, they got issues. You ever thought that? They got issues. Have you ever thought, this guy here, he has issues? You see, sometimes we look at people, they have issues, but we don't allow God to use other people to help and work in our situation. I got ahead of myself a little bit. Imperfect people hurt people. Some of the biggest challenges that you're going to face in life is challenges with other people. By the way, the Apostle Paul, you know, we think about how things bad are bad here in America. I mean, some of these people lived under Nero. I mean, he's burning Christians at the stake. You know, this afternoon we're going to have a burning. How many of you would like to be burned at the stake this afternoon, 3 o'clock? Yeah, me neither. You know, we look at that kind of persecution. But imperfect people hurt people. And we need to get a view of the big picture as it comes to individuals, as it comes to people, as it comes to others. We need to see it from a biblical standpoint. Number, there you go, I gave them both to you. They just popped up. We need to recognize that we need to help others. Romans chapter 6 says what? It says to bear one another's burdens. Do you know, if I'm going to bear one another's burdens, I'm going to have to know what those burdens are. And sometimes we see them willingly, and sometimes we see them unwilling. You say, what do you mean? Okay, let's pick on Tyler, for instance. Tyler might come in today, and he might say this, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm going through a tough time at work, and I say, okay, Tyler, I'm going to pray for you. He releases information to me and allows me to help him. But a lot of times, we find information out through the back door. For instance, Tyler comes to me and he says, pray for me, I'm having a problem at work. And that's his focus. But in explaining to me the problems he's having at work, he takes the name of the Lord in vain. I now am clued into two problems. The problem that he has at work and him taking the Lord's name in vain. Now, he doesn't do that, I don't think. All right, good. Beautiful. We're on the same page. Or he may use some choice language in communicating. Most of the issues that we face with other people, often they come through the back door. God allows us to see situations in people's lives that he wants us to pray for them about, that he wants to use us to help them, to be from where they are to where God wants them to be. But quite frankly, sometimes we write them off when we see weaknesses in people's lives. By the way, Hebrews 10 tells us we're to do what? We're to provoke one another unto love and good works. Do you know it is important for us to recognize that others are called to help us? Do you know when God exposes, and by the way, God uses these things, he intertwines them all. Often, bad circumstances can expose a heart that isn't where it should be. And sometimes things about us come out that God wants to get us help in those areas. And often we excuse things. Often we say, yeah, but if you had the same situation I had, you'd have said the same thing that I had. We just excuse sin. And we need to recognize people can be stressful. People can love you today and hate you tomorrow. People can cause anxiety in our lives. But we need to recognize that God loves people. He created everyone in His image. And He gives people a free will. And He uses us. We want people to be patient with us. And often we find ourselves not being patient with others. And we need to recognize God has given us a role when it comes to others. He wants us to help, to encourage, to provoke one another unto good works. Sometimes we don't want people to know some of the weaknesses that we have, because we feel like they won't accept us. You know what? Unfortunately, that's true. Sometimes people don't accept us when they see who we really are. But the reality is, as Christians, we ought to love and accept one another, recognizing that we're all in this together and we're all called to help, encourage, and build and strengthen one another. And so when it comes to this matter of others, we need to think in a biblical way about others. All right, so those four, you can get some other scriptures to help you. You can get some other scriptures to help you when it comes to your view of God, your view of yourself, your view of circumstances, or your view of other people. I find that when I face a non-physical issue, when it comes to anxiety, stress, whatever you want to call it, it's usually in one of those four areas. And I have to say to myself, this is the circumstances, God's got to work it out. I have to say to myself, this is another person. I got to pray for them. I got to try to help them. But I got to trust God with that situation. By the way, it's very difficult on parents. And we'll talk about this when it comes to control. It's sometimes difficult to let God take other people and work on other people. When it comes to me, I got to think biblically about me and don't believe the lie of the devil and think that I'm no good. And I got to think right about the God that loves me and cares for me, all right? So I've got to deal with my mind, all right? You with me? Let's shift here and let's talk a little bit about our will, all right? Your will. God gave you a free will to choose to do right or wrong, to choose to respond right or respond wrong. Number one, admit that you like to be in control. Now, you may be sitting here today and you may say, hey, I don't have any desire to be in control at all. Well, if you really think about it, some have a higher desire to control their world. Others have a lesser desire. But one of the reasons that we kind of freak out when bad circumstances come is because we lose control. And we have to come to a point where we recognize that kind of in some form or fashion, we all like to be in control of our little world. In 1 Samuel chapter number 13, you can turn there real quick, and we'll take just a few minutes. 1 Samuel chapter number 13, I want you to see God told Saul, that he had to wait on Samuel. Samuel was God's man. Samuel was God's man. And it took Samuel a little while to get here. And Samuel was the one supposed to offer the offering. And the Bible says in verse 8 of 1 Samuel 13, and he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered. And Saul said, verse 10, bring hither a burnt offering to me. And he offered the burnt offering. And as soon as it came to pass, Samuel shows up. Verse 11, Samuel says, what hast thou done? And Saul says, because I saw that the people were scattered, and then thou camest not within the days appointed. But he did come. He just came later in the day than Saul wanted. Philistines gathered. He's looking at his circumstances. He says this in verse 12. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down upon me. I have not made supplication to the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. Here Saul is, seeing the Philistines surrounding, knowing that God told him to wait on Samuel to offer the offering, and he just takes things into his own hands and offers the offering. Unfortunately, what does God say? He says, look, Samuel, you've done foolishly. Verse 13, you haven't kept the commandments of the Lord. I would have established your kingdom forever, but now the Lord sought him a man after God's own heart. We like to be in control. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at your neighbor and say to your neighbor, you need to admit that you like to be in control. All right, here we go. You just tell him right now. You admit it. You like to be in control. All right. Some of you are telling them more. Some of you are saying a little more than that. All right, here's number two. Number two is this. It's a three-step process, and I'm going to tell you how this works. Number two is, I need to acknowledge that only God is in control. The hardest step is number three. I'll give you that in a minute. When you look at the fact that, you know, it is an illusion for us to think that we are in control in any aspect, really, of our lives. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. Listen to this verse. Jeremiah 27 is a great verse too, but listen to this verse, Nehemiah 9, 6. Thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Thou art the Lord the God. Thou art Lord the God. When you think about that, and there's tons of verses we could look at, but we'll be doing this for the next year. There are tons of verses we can look at. We need to recognize that only God is in control. Amen. Now, sometimes it's hard for us to admit that we like to be in control. Sometimes what causes the fear and the anxiety in our lives is from our wanting to be in control. Somebody says, well, you got to think biblically. I know I got to think biblically. You know, we're in good health. We've checked the health. We're trying to walk with the Lord. And we know what we should be thinking, but we want to still try to figure out how we're going to control our circumstances or how we're going to control somebody. And it creates anxiety in us because we don't know how we're going to pay the bill. We don't know how we're going to make it through this situation. Acknowledge, all right, I'm trying to control this situation. This is going to help you if you struggle with fear and anxiety in any way. This will help you if you admit, I'm trying to be in control here. Only God is in control. But here's number three. Very simple. Here it is. You need to allow God to be in control. You need to say, hey, I want God to be in control of my world. Now, there are some things you can do. You can determine different things that you want to do and plan. We plan our day. We never plan our day to have a flat tire. You know, we never plan for us to get sick. We never plan for, you know, the toilet to break. We never plan for these things. Isaiah 64 and verse 8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art potter, and we are all the work of thy hand. God has never messed anyone up. Never has, never will. We need to learn to, we're not just letting go out into oblivion. We're letting go of the things that we can't control. And we're giving them to God. Now here's what you need to tell your neighbor. Because your neighbor knows, they just admit it, they like to be in control. Right? Here's what you need to tell your neighbor. You need to look at your neighbor. You need to tell your neighbor, you need to allow God to be in control of your world. Go ahead and tell him. Allow God to be in control. All right. So we're going to allow God. We're going to move through this quick because I got to at least get through this first point. We're going to look at three areas where we like to control. All right. Number one, we like to control our circumstances. Bad, good, indifferent, we like to be in control of our circumstances. So what do? Number one, we need to see God in our circumstances. He knows the end from the beginning. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. God knows the past, the present, and he knows the future. And when we face circumstances that are unpleasant, that we don't like, I have to say, okay, God, I don't want to be in control here. I don't like this. I'm resisting this. But I need to see you in it. You've allowed it for a reason. And there's many Bible illustrations that we could look at. Number two, I think it's important that we pray about our circumstances. The Bible says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you know what? Sometimes I think God allows circumstances in our life to draw us close to Him so that we will talk to Him so that He can say, I got this for you. Amen. You know, you think of a little child. Sometimes a parent will let a child struggle through something until that child says, hey, can you help me? Sure. And what parent doesn't want to help their child? Prayer answers. God answers prayer. Acts 12 is a story we looked at about Peter. Number three, I think it's important when it comes to our circumstances to change what we can. Whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with all thy might. When we find ourselves in circumstances, you say, I don't like this particular circumstance that I'm in. God, I'm going to see you in this. I'm going to pray about this. But is there something I can do to change this situation? Is there something I can do to change my circumstance to make it a little better for me? And there's sometimes, you know, you have the divine sovereignty and the human responsibility. We looked at this a few weeks ago. God's not going to do for us what we can do for ourselves. We need to evaluate and analyze and say, okay, what do I need to change here? I was talking to somebody this week, and they put gutter guards. He just showed me this little piece of metal. They put it on their gutter because they didn't want to take the time or risk being on a ladder to blow out their gutters. So they said, hey, I'm going to change this in my life to make life easier. And there's so much that we can do as we think about changing what we can. Number whatever. Four, accept what you cannot change. Do you know why we get a bad attitude with bad circumstances? Because we're resisting, we're chafing against something that we cannot change. We can't change it. How many of you like getting older? Well, good. I'm in good company. You know, I don't like getting older either. I can't do what I used to be able to do. Take me a little longer, you know. And some of you that are ahead of me are like, oh, just wait. Don't talk to me about that. I don't want to hear it. You know, the reality is we have to accept it. We have to accept things in life that we cannot change. You know, my mom died 4 or 5 years ago. This is 4 years ago or so. I wouldn't have chosen that. To me, she died young. But I had to accept it. Okay, God, I have to accept that you allowed this, and she's in a better, and if I think right, she's in a better place than I am. She's with Jesus. She's way better off. She's not in any more pain. But sometimes people will resist that, and that, by the way, is what causes bitterness when we don't accept things we can't change. And then number five, we need to move forward with God's grace. Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Lord, if you'd remove this thorn, I could serve you in a better way. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. He didn't say, okay, God, you want to play games like that then? Then fine. I'm going to play those games too. I'm done. I'm not serving you anymore. That's not what the Apostle Paul did. The Apostle Paul said, okay, if I'm going to have your grace, I will glory in my infirmities. I'm going to move forward for God. I'm going to be faithful. Now let me show you a little chart here, and I'll show you this chart after we look at controlling people, which we'll look at next week. And that sometimes is a big challenge for us, because the circumstance, we, you know, the spiritual person can kind of at some point sometimes come to the point, well, God is the God of my circumstances. But with other people, sometimes it's a little harder. Let me show you this chart and we'll be finished. What is God's will when it comes to the circumstances that I find myself in life here? What is God's will? Ah, this thing's out of batteries. All right, well, I'll just let you see it anyway. I was going to use a pointer. We have this here, nice big circle. Let me move over here. And at the top portion, there are things in our lives that concern us but are beyond our ability or responsibility. We have to give this to God. All right? Sometimes circumstances come and you say, you know what? This is beyond my ability. I have to give this thing to the Lord. It's not part of my my world, if you would. I mean, we all want to change the world, don't we? We all wish gas prices were lower, don't we? We all wish the price of lumber was cheaper, right? And so these are things, circumstances that we're facing today that aren't our responsibility. We have to give it to the Lord. You can get on Facebook and spend hours venting to the whole world about gas prices, and all you're doing is wasting time. And you're not fulfilling God's will in one area if you're spending all this time in another area. Then we look at what is my responsibility, and in my responsibility, there's really two areas. There are things in God's will that I have some control. I need to do what I can. So there are things in our lives, circumstantially, that we have some control over. We need to recognize, okay, I can't control the gas prices, but I can control the leaves in my gutter. That's fall time. That comes to mind. So I do what I can to make the changes I can. For instance, those of us that don't like getting older have some control over our lives in our older age. You can choose to exercise or choose not to exercise, right? We can choose to eat right or choose not to eat right. Some of aging, we can help to control our quality of life. But ultimately, we're all going to get old. And we're all going to die someday unless the Lord comes. And we're praying for the Lord's return. So what do I have to do? I have to control responsibility. I have to do what I can and leave the rest with God. And then there's area in our lives where there's 100% of the control of our circumstances. We have 100%. And we can say, man, I'm tired today. Well, you should have went to bed earlier. Now, I know it's extenuating circumstances. I get that. And I'm not talking about you're a bad person if you're tired and you have health issues. What I'm saying is this. A lot of the reason why people find themselves tired is because they chose to stay up and get that project done, to talk on the phone, to do email, to watch a movie, or whatever. You with me? So when it comes to circumstances, we're looking at the same chart when it comes to people. We've got to recognize, hey, I have to take responsibility for what I need to take responsibility for. Our will is really our challenge. If I was to ask you to give me a verse on why you shouldn't fear, I'll bet you every one of you could give me a verse. The issue is, I have to exercise my will to choose to think right, to not control my little world. And none of us really is in control anyway. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank you for truth. Lord, I know we looked at a lot of material here this morning. And I just pray you'd use this in our lives. Lord, thank you for giving us a free will to choose you and to choose to love you. Lord, probably everyone in this auditorium has chosen to trust you as Savior.